This podcast is brought to you by sarahraven.com, which is home to everything you need for a truly beautiful and productive garden. You'll also find great and essential gardening kit and stylish, lovely things to have in your house to bring the outside indoors, all inspired by the garden and the house being tied together. There's also plenty of garden inspiration, how-to videos and specialist growing guides. So head over to sarahraven.com today to discover even more. Welcome to Grow Cookie to Range, the podcast of me, Sarah Raven, and usually a guest, but with the occasional solo, with just me, and that's what you've got this week. Because I thought it's just the sort of time of year when the frosts are finishing, or will be soon, depending on where you live. And so it's the time to start thinking of planting seedlings into the greenhouse or even into the garden that are half hardy. So a half hardy plant, as most of you will know, is something that won't take the frost, the rain or the cold. And they hail from warmer climates, sort of Mexico, South Africa, etc. And if they get frosted, they die. It's as simple as that. So you put them out once the frosts are over in May at this time of year, and they will get killed by the frost when they start in the autumn. But it is the time, the exciting time, if you love your veg. And so that's why I just thought I would do quite a quick episode on my own, just highlighting what I consider to be my six absolute favourite must-have vegetables to plant at this time of year, and give you my favourite recipes that I will be using them for when I'm harvesting them. And the six are tomatoes, cucumbers, peas, courgettes, basil, and carrots. Now, of course, there are tons of others that I adore too. There are, you know, lots of other things like chard and all the salads and everything. But those are the things that I really feel, as a very keen home cook, I would miss desperately if I couldn't walk out the door and harvest to my heart's content and bring them in for, you know, July, August, September, even into October meals. And they really, truly enhance every day of my life. So I'm going to start with tomatoes. And in terms of variety, there are so many good ones appearing all the time, to be honest. But there's an interesting result, actually, of Brexit, which is that a lot of this tender annual, half-hardy annual seed, particularly chilies, tomatoes and peppers, are coming in from being grown somewhere else in Europe. And they're hanging around, apparently, a bit too long in our ports. And they are disintegrating, and the seed quality is disintegrating. So we've actually had a real problem sourcing large quantities of seeds of tomatoes, chilies, peppers, and aubergines in recent years. But luckily, this year, this seems to be resolved, and seed supply seems to be back up and running again. But it's interesting, it's sort of late side effect. So varieties-wise, I'm going to be really disciplined and make myself choose just three. I've banged on a lot on the podcast about Black Crim or Black Russian, and it's because it's juicy. It's got this weird colouring, which is due to having a double dose of pigments or antioxidants, which is the red from lycopene, which makes tomatoes red, and the black from anthocyanin, which makes blueberries and blackberries and black currants black. Is that pigment. And anthocyanin is really good for brain health, which is why the older you get, the more blueberries we want to eat. And lycopene is incredibly good at protecting our organs. So it's really, really good for all the organs in our body. But apparently, a really also particularly good, proven to be an anti-cancer antioxidant with sensitivities against both breast and prostate cancer. So whether you're a man or a woman, lycopene is a good thing to ingest. So Black Crim or Black Russian has both those, but it also happens to be juicy, beefy, tasty, just absolutely the epitome of a tomato that you want with salad and mozzarella and basil. And then to counterbalance that in a way, which is really, it is kind of like a meaty tomato, the Black Russian, is Sungold, which is a burst of sweetness. So it almost is like a sweet. And I remember one of our children, sometimes I couldn't find her when I was wanting to rush off on the school run. And then I'd find her in the greenhouse just grazing tomatoes for her breakfast. And she just loved them, particularly Sungold, because they were so, so sweet. So they're an orange, very thin skin variety, very prolific, really easy to grow. Both Black Russian and Sungold can be grown outside. But to be honest, particularly the Black Crim or Black Russian is kind of better for its sugar content if it's grown in a greenhouse. But they can both be outside. And then my third must-have, which actually is an addition from a taste trial that we did last year, which is garnet. It was brand new to us, and I try and kind of close my eyes when I'm tasting, doing taste trials, because otherwise you're kind of influenced by your previous experience. So if I saw Black Russian and Sungold, I would immediately think these are going to be the best. But I made myself not look, and I tasted garnet, and I actually scored it higher than even my two favorites. And the reason I loved it and have gone on loving it is it's really sweet, really strong tomato flavor, and it's got a very firm texture. So you can slice it and it doesn't do that kind of sag, you know, it keeps its real perkiness and sort of bounce back in a very good way. And it's really prolific. So there's lots and lots of fruit, and it's very, very healthy. And so these are all ones that you grow growing up a cane. So they're all what's called indeterminate. They continue to grow, and you pinch them out when they have 6 or 8 pairs of leaves. Anyway, garnet is a newfound favorite for me, and I absolutely adore it. So all those I'm going to be planting out this week, and I'm going to put some on the south face in 3 weeks' time. So not till the last week of May, going outside, but inside I can start now. And they're going into ring culture pots where the inner chamber has the roots and the plant goes into that. And then the outer chamber goes down deeper, and you water into the outer chamber because that goes deeper and it waters the water roots, which are at the deepest section of root of a tomato plant. And you feed into the central chamber, which is the feeding roots. So those will go inside in ring culture pots, and then outside. Don't start planting tomatoes outside until you're happy to have a supper outside in the garden, because they hate cold nights. So if you hate cold nights and you have to wear 3 jerseys to have supper outside, it's not yet time to plant your tomatoes. But as soon as you've had 2 or 3 nights where you're comfortable eating supper in the garden, it's a good old time for the tomatoes to go out. So recipes wise, I am really mad on 2 soups. And the first is what I call my instant tomato smoothie. I used to call it gazpacho, but I had several people who were proper Spanish chefs slightly ticking me off, quite rightly, that it wasn't a true gazpacho because it doesn't have red peppers or garlic in it. And it is literally 500 grams of tomatoes of different types, whizzed up with 2 small cucumbers, you know, like La Diva, which I'm coming on to, or a full sort of supermarket log cucumber. And then 2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, 2 tablespoons of red wine vinegar or cider vinegar with the mother if you want to be super healthy, and some salt. And that's it. Whiz it up. And then there's another recipe that I love for a soup with tomatoes, which we tend to do when we've got an abundance. And that is called Cleopatra's tomato soup. And it's named after a hotel in the Drakensberg Mountains in South Africa that somebody who used to work here called Tam Lawson gave me. And it's basically slow roast tomatoes with lots of ginger, lots of fennel, and whizzed up with coconut milk and some fish sauce. And it's really fragrant and kind of slightly Asian in taste, incredibly fresh, and lots of fresh coriander at the end. Both those, we will put the recipes in the podcast notes. And then there's one final recipe, and then I'll get on to cucumbers, which is given to me by a very old friend that I was at university with, called Belinda Ead, now called Belinda McCaskey. And it's baked tomatoes in cream. And that sounds so weird. And it even has sugar in it. So is this a pudding or is this a savory? Well, it's a savory thing and it's wonderful with new potatoes and a crunchy green salad. And it's got garlic and parmesan and anchovies and cream and tomatoes and oregano. And it's totally delicious in a sort of gratin. And I couldn't more warmly recommend it. It sounds really unlikely. And it's real comfort food. It's lovely with rice. I love it with a Jersey roll potato and, as I say, a crunchy green salad or perhaps with some nice French beans. But all those are mainstays of our summer kitchen here from just walking outside and picking tomatoes. So on to cucumbers. I won't wax on quite as long about any other vegetable, I promise. But I only grow one cucumber here, which is one of the small ones. And we grow Ladiva. There's another variety called Pepita, and they grow cucumbers the size of a big cigar, a sort of chunky cigar. And I used to grow them when the children were young and use them as crudités dipping into hummus, or I'd make a green mayonnaise for them to dip into. And I absolutely love them just like that. But we have been eating all the way through this winter a cucumber pickle, which is so easy to make. And I had a weekend of where I came back, having been away for a few days, and found this mountain of 30 or 40 cucumbers that had been picked from Ladiva. And I was thinking, what on earth am I going to do with it? And then I looked up a sweet pickle recipe in my garden cookbook and made a great batch of it. And it's so easy and so delicious. And we're still eating it. And we're going to miss it when it's run out, which it almost has. And it's basically in a classic pickle mix with mustard seeds and vinegar, of course, and a little bit of sugar and some turmeric. And the key ingredient, which Olya Hercules, the wonderful Ukrainian chef, told me, is to put a blackcurrant leaf in the top of the jar, because that has tannin in it, which keeps the crunch in the cucumber. And you boil the cucumber really briefly, having put it into julienne fingers, and then pack it, boil it in the pickling, pack it into a jar, reduce the pickling liquor so it's more intense and delicious and sweet, pour it over, and then put the blackcurrant leaf over the top. And it's really easy to do in bulk, and it's super delicious. And how to grow a cucumber? They do need a climbing frame, Ladiva does, and it can be outside or inside. They have huge seed leaves, so they grow very rapidly, and they're super easy to grow. And I really, really recommend them. So peas, I'm going to be very quick with this. I mean, there's one pea that is so stellar. It's the one that I just passionately recommend everyone to grow. And it's a sugar snap called Nairobi. And it's one of those peas that, honestly, once you've tasted it, you kind of never look back. It's so sweet. It's so crunchy. And it's so pea-like. The flavor is just sort of, it bursts in the mouth. It's absolutely amazing raw and wonderful steamed. And I use that in a salad with red onions and lots of basil and broad beans. And if I can get some nice fresh asparagus, I would use asparagus too. And it's in this lovely, really intense basil-y sauce. And you have a mix of the peas and then the whole sugar snap pea. And it's sort of crunchy, but also really sweet and tangy and with a delicious basil dressing. And so I'll put that recipe in the podcast notes. So on to basil. The other thing to do with sweet Genovese basil is to make a basil ice cream. And that is basically with Greek yogurt, mascarpone, I'm afraid slightly scary amounts of sugar. Either do it in a Tupperware box and stir it every hour or so to prevent big crystals forming. Or if you're lucky enough to have an ice cream maker, put it and do it in that. And it's such a strange one. It really divides the world. Most people I serve it to are just like, wow, that's incredible. That's the most delicious ice cream I've ever had. It's wonderful with raspberries and sort of tangy fruit. Like, it's really wonderful with damsons as well. But some people just don't like it. So, you know, it's some people can't bear coriander. Other people love it. But basil is easy to grow, and now is the time to sow it, and really not till now. And certainly you don't want to plant it out for at least 4 or 5 weeks from now, because it hates cold nights. Always when you harvest it, pick some for the kitchen and then pick 2 or 3 shoots and put them in a jam jar and let them root in the water, and then use that as a new plant or two. And that way you can just keep regenerating more and more and more crops. And particularly towards the end of the season with basil, that is so fantastic because basil gets killed or goes black when the nights get cold, but you can keep generating new and kind of more vigorous plants by doing this water rooting propagation system. And it really is incredibly effective with basil. It's one of the easiest things to propagate in that way. Courgettes, now is the time to plant them out with perhaps a bit of protection. The main thing that is a challenge for courgettes is wind and cold wind particularly. So if you've got a straw bale anywhere around or can find something to sort of be equivalent to a straw bale, even like a sort of basket that you could weigh down, just as a windbreak and plant the courgette in the protection from that, you can plant them out from any time from now on. And of course, pick the courgette flowers, the male flowers, as well as the fruiting courgettes, and only pick a courgette the size of the base of your thumb. And you might think that that's crazy. So it's kind of what that, I don't know, my thumb, that's probably about 3 inches, but I know I'm not meant to think in inches. And that may feel too small for some of you. But what do we all complain about courgettes? They're super prolific. So why not pick them when they're absolutely at their nuttiest, tastiest and best? Because they're going to grow more. So why bother to grow them to twice that size when they're not quite as nice and they're more seedy and more watery? And don't forget to eat the flowers too. But courgettes, I always grow Bianca, a yellow, like something like Soleil. And I love Romanesco, which has ribs down the fruit. And I tend to serve all three colours on the plate at once. And really, the most splendid way to serve those is in a garden Fritto Misto, a sort of summer Fritto Misto. And I'll collect lots of things like calendula flowers, borage flowers, some courgette flowers, removing the stigma, maybe some sage leaves. And maybe at this time of year, perhaps earlier than obviously that these are ready, the courgettes are ready, some tulip flowers. And tulip exotic emperor is one of my favorite things for putting in a batter. And the batter that I make is 150 grams of plain flour, 100 grams of corn flour. So that's a lot. And that's what makes it crunchy. And 10 grams of baking powder stirred to a double cream consistency with cold sparkling water or beer. And then dip the whatever you're doing into that and then shallow fry them in a high point temperature oil. And that couldn't be better. Just serve it with a squeeze of lemon or perhaps some green mayonnaise made from herbs and hens, hopefully that are nice organic hen eggs. Final one to finish with is carrots. And we have been doing experiments with carrot tapes and lots of different vegetable tapes recently. And carrot tapes have been fantastically successful for us here. So this is where the seed is put into, I think it's a rice paper, literally like almost like ticker tape. And all you do is you roll that out. And I'm going to do these now in the greenhouse for a couple of generations of carrots. And that means I get pristine carrots in 10 weeks' time. And so carrot tape of something like Nantes is my final must-do for this week. And so between those six, tomatoes, cucumbers, peas, courgettes, basil, and carrots, you will have a delicious summer of homegrown food. Thanks very much for listening to my solo episode on kind of exactly what this is about, Grow, Cook, Eat, Arrange. Next week, I'm joined by Adam Nicholson, my husband, because amazingly, we will have been at Purchill for 30 years. So we're going to do a bit of a recap of why we came here, what we wanted from here, and what we feel, I suppose, we've got from here, Purchill, over the last 30 years. So join us then. You can find more information, photos, and advice sheets on all the plants and recipes we talk about on this podcast by heading to the show notes or at sarahraven.com/podcast.